Glenn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne in the Capital Auto Group Studios at KYKN. You're listening to Newsmakers. Every noon, every weekday, we talk about local topics of interest. We talk about local issues, local individuals, local initiatives, local institutions. And there's a big institution right smack downtown Salem called the Capitol and the legislature and all those government offices. And today, we have an honored guest, probably one of my definitely my favorite person coming out of the building. I got to tell you that. But and she's partly responsible for me being here on the show and talking to you all today and every day. So along with Brent and Dave, we've got Senator Jackie Winters in the House. Welcome, Jackie.
Well, thank you, Dave. I am so glad, Brent, you're here.
Yeah, full disclosure, it was actually Senator Winters that mentioned to the powers that be at KYKN that I might have a reasonable aptitude to do the job, I guess. It's a nice way of saying it. So led to a conversation, and here we are at Newsmakers, and we're talking about local things all the time. Had great guests, and it's great to have you in the studio to talk about you.
Oh, well, it's great to be here with you to join you today. And honestly, I am glad that you have this Newsmaker show.
Thank you. And thank you, actually, for mentioning it and thinking well enough of me to mention me to KYKN. So you might know Senator Winters because she has been around in the community forever, and she's been in public service for a long, long time and done so much in our community inside her official roles and outside of her official roles, going way back to 1971, I believe. Oh, 69, you started working at the Capitol, right?
1969 was when I first started working at the Capitol during the McCall administration. And then Ted and I got married in 1971 at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And so we moved to Salem. So I've been here in Salem since 1971.
All right. Well, quick background on Senator Winters. She's been in the Senate since 2002. So since they're elected every 4 years, that is one, two, three, that's four re-elections, including this just this last year, right?
Correct.
So that's a long time serving in the Senate. Before that, you were in the House for about 4 years.
That is correct. And you've done your homework.
I did. I wanted to make sure everybody understood that you've been going to the Capitol for a fair bit now. And what I love about there's several things to love about Senator Winters, and one of them is that she has a small business background, which we're going to talk about. But she also started in service with the state as an ombudsperson, right? In the office
No.
What was your first job?
My first job was at the University of Oregon Medical School, which is now OHSU, and I started that job in 1959.
Oh, well, I wasn't counting that part. Holy cow. 59, okay. So how did you end up in the office of the ombudsperson?
Actually, I started as the ombudsman for Governor Attia. And like I said, in 69, I was with McCall. Uh-huh. And then, of course, after McCall was no longer in office and when Governor Attia came into office, he recruited me to become the ombudsman. And in the days of ombudsmanship, both for McCall, my husband Ted was the ombudsman for Governor McCall.
Oh.
So I think it's the only husband and wife that ever occupied the same office in the governor's suite.
Describe for everybody who's listening what an ombudsperson does and what you did.
Well, what I did was any of the complaints or letters that came to the governor, no matter what the subject matter was or what agency that had a problem with an agency, I usually ended up getting it in my desk to actually resolve the issue on behalf of the citizens of the state of Oregon. And also, we looked at trends where, you know, an example was we were getting a number of calls and letters that had to do with motor vehicles and not getting response when the citizens called. And come to find out, when we did our investigation, we determined that they all took their lunch all away from their desk at the same hour. So there was no one there to man the phones or to take calls or customers to come in. Of course, once we found that out, that practice was discontinued.
You see, and the part of that role is you end up being an advocate for the citizenry. Right?
Yes.
You'd be an advocate for the citizens that need help working with the government. So that background plus a small business background, boy, what a great foundation to step into public policy.
Well, also, as the ombudsman, it may deal with the state agency, mm-hmm. but it could also have implications from the federal government. One of the things that during my time as the ombudsman, it was created, Oregon Food Share was created when I was there.
Hmm.
And, of course, that's the largest collection and distribution of food commodities across the state for our most vulnerable population. And that was done as a result of federal regulation that had an adverse impact on the state of Oregon.
So Oregon Food Share, and they work in cooperation with the regional ones?
Well, now it's Oregon Food Bank, but at that time, what I did, and with the support of the governor, we actually organized around the state, and it was with our local nonprofit collecting the foods, mm-hmm. And then in turn creating within, like Marion Polk, creating mm-hmm. that pantry mm-hmm. to be able to distribute, because you may have Ontario donating potatoes and somebody else donating onions and somebody else across the state donating something else. The Teamsters were our entity that actually would haul food commodities around. I can still remember the day we kicked it off that all the Supreme Court justices came in their robes with bags of food and what have you. And yeah, but it's been one, it stayed. It has been one consistent, you know, since 1979.
Wow.
That, you know, we have actually made certain that individuals were fed.
Wow. That goes back a long ways to some Republican governors even. So that precedes my time at Salem. I've been here a while, but I haven't seen a Republican governor. So, yeah.
Ivic was our last Republican governor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Jackie Winters, Senator Jackie Winters, and we want to talk about what's going to come up in the legislature. There's this session coming up. She'll be outnumbered as far as being a Republican versus a Democrat, and the caucus, the elements of the caucus that's going to happen, some bills that are going to happen, things we might see happen, and other roles of a state senator and how they interact with the city and the county and the initiatives and how you contact and how you help and all these good things. But really quick, I want to talk about, I want to make sure everybody knows, you know, obviously you've been here since 69. And been in service for a long time, but there's family. You got kids, you got grandkids. I just learned before we went on the air, Dave, she's got three great grandkids.
Yes.
And how?
Three.
And
great.
Great.
Great, great.
Okay.
Not great, 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 great. No, they're great.
And 11 grandkids.
Yeah,
right?
So, yeah.
Wow.
I have four sons and three daughter-in-laws whom I love.
Oh, great.
And then 11 grandkids and the three greats. I'm a widow. And like I said, my family is what keeps me going and had supported all the work that I do all these years.
And how many of us stayed relatively in this area?
Actually, there's here in Salem, there are two that live here in Salem, and one is in Bend. And then one is in Southern California. But all of them attended the schools here, from Candelaria to Leslie to South High, you know, and Oregon State. So they're very much Oregon. But, you know, as kids grow up and find their own career pathways, they tend to move out of state. So I've had two in-state and two out.
That's a pretty good ratio. Did you have a big gathering at the holidays?
At the holidays, I was in Bend. Uh-huh. I had snow.
Snow for the holidays.
I had snow for the holidays and spent time with son Brian and his wife and the two grandkids that are there.
That's terrific. You're looking forward to the session? That's a tough thing to go through. Kids and grandkids and band and snow and holidays and, let's go to the Capitol and fight it out.
Well, you know, the opening day of the Capitol is really rather special. You will have all the individuals who were recently elected to both the House and the Senate, as well as the governor, will be sworn in that day. It's January 14th.
Okay.
And, of course, the public is welcome. I would encourage, if you're going to come early to get a seat and a space, because you will have family, friends, and others who will be there to see their representative senator being sworn in. Traditionally, I have normally had one of the grandkids sit on the floor with me.
Oh, fun.
And I've taken the family Bible with me, and this Bible dates back to the 1800s. So it's kind of one that's very special, because, you know, there you actually are, you know, saying that you will uphold the Constitution of the state of Oregon and the United States.
That should be really fun. So that's coming up on the 14th, and try to see if you can make it. I don't know, watch Senator Winters getting sworn into public office at the seventh time now after elective office. Elective. And plus, we have Denise Bowles, representative. She'll be sworn in, and she said the governor and so forth on the 14th. All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the committees you're on, how you're going to fight the good fight during the next session, and all the things you're doing to help the community. This is Brent DeHart, along with Dave Boren on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Boren on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, and we are talking to you from the Capital Auto Group studios here at KYKN 1430. It is Newsmakers Hour to talk about local issues and individuals and ideas and institutions and individuals. And boy, we've got a unique one in our office, in our studios today, with Senator Jackie Winters, who's going to spend a great deal of time this year at a local institution we like to call the legislature. welcome back. So let's dive right into your role at the legislature. So you're obviously you're a senior senator, and you hold some sort of record about being an elected person, right?
I hold several. I was the first African American Republican elected.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
To the legislature, both the House and the Senate. And currently, I am the longest serving Republican woman in the history of the state.
Wow. Wow. Well, amen to you. Thank you for that. Longest serving woman in the legislature in the history of the state.
Republican woman.
Republican woman.
Yes.
Well,
I think that there's, and I'm not quite sure whether it was Senator Carter, but you do have, I know Senator Burdick has been in maybe as long as I have on the Democratic side.
Yeah, we're going to give you that one anyway.
Okay.
That's great. All right, so you stepped down for minority leader. I saw that, and I said to myself, that's probably an effort to have fewer meetings. Is it? Or is I mean,
well,
there's enough meetings every session.
It's an effort to have fewer meetings, but it was also, you know, looking at it, you know, I'm such a community person, and I work so closely with the city and others, and I'm the convener of Regional Solutions along with my other legislative duties, that for me, it was also to be able to do the job that I know that needed to be done for the citizens of District 10 and Marion Polk and Yamhill counties. So I had to take that assessment into consideration, you know, and I wanted to get back in serving on Ways and Means.
Okay. So, and you are on Ways and Means. You're the vice co-chair.
Yes. Right? I'm on Joint Ways and Means, and I'm vice co-chair on Joint Ways and Means, and I'm also the co-chair for Public Safety.
Okay, so tell me, my perspective is, because I'm not in the building, honestly. I'd like to take a little bit of pay and a little bit of attention, but I just see the Republicans raising their hands and saying nay a lot this term, this session, and not getting their way because of the supermajority that the Democrats hold, and how they're going to spend money. Are, you know, does the Republican caucus going to have a material say in how they're going to spend money and budget?
Well, there's also some of us who are on Ways and Means. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we meet and how we spend the dollars. And so you do have on the Senate side that are on Ways and Means, which includes myself, and Senator Hansel is on Ways and Means. Senator Girard is on Ways and Means. I think there's one other that's on Ways and Means. Heard is on Ways and Means. So there's four of us that are on Ways and Means. And the job in Ways and Means is to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if individuals know, but by Constitution, Oregon cannot do deficit spending.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that for, we can't go beyond the revenue that exist. And so the job in Ways and Means is to make certain that we come out of it with a balanced budget.
So the proposed budget that the governor unveiled last month and her priorities, how did you feel about that budget?
Well, I tell everyone that the governor proposes, all governors propose, and we dispose. That's probably the best way to see what happens in Ways and Means.
Okay.
So even though that may be the governor's priority, we will actually tear those apart. We will actually go through, we will hold hearings with stakeholders and others and make a determination on how much or how less.
Okay, how do you feel about the education number? Is she overreaching or is that we can make that happen?
I'm public safety, but as you know, last session, we did increase the governor. A lot will depend upon the overall how much is there to determine how much will go out to education. I think we all, most members, believe that education should be funded first. So that, for a couple of reasons, so that the educators know what they're getting and how they can plan and budget within their scope. And so that's usually our first priority anyway going into the building.
Well, that actually is really interesting and really, really important. A lot of people don't realize that because it seems like the legislature is always haggling over the number for education, and it goes on and on to the session. But if you just set it first, you could spend all of the rest of the session collaboratively working on other things, and the school districts would be able to have something to rely upon before they're supposed to be done with their own budgeting. So I'm glad you said that, because I've been a huge proponent of, hey, let's just decide, Republicans and Democrats and independents, we're going to do this much in education, and then let's do the rest of the session.
And then if we're, last session, we did come up with some extra dollars, and we actually then added those to education.
Excellent. It is material, because we're talking about local school districts, and we've sent out an invitation for the local superintendent to join us on the show, and we've had the chair of the Salem Kaiser School Board on the show, and heck, they have to hire teachers. Mm-hmm. They have to hire teachers and set personnel and all these things. They have to do their own budgeting. If we have to wait till July on a long session term, then that's really hard on them.
And since we're talking about education, I think the general community should know. I often, we get comments coming to our office, and they actually think that we do the micromanaging of school districts. We do not. That's what your school boards do.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for curriculums. They're responsible for your athletic programs. They're responsible for what happens, within Salem Kaiser School District. We provide the funding.
Right.
And I don't know how many people, we'll get a call. Why did you allow this to happen? Or why didn't you allow it? We'll say, well, go to your school board.
Yeah. Indeed. Unless it comes to OSAA, which is entirely different show entirely. When we're talking about where the sports teams are playing.
Right? There was a big, three-page article?
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, you missed it. Statesman. Yeah, it was.
Yes. Anyway, that's a whole other topic and another show. So you're also working on the Public Safety Committee. And what are your goals?
I chair the subcommittee Ways and Means on Public Safety. And that takes in everything from funding of the district attorneys to the funding of our community corrections, to the Department of Corrections, and most people may or may not know, we have 14, I call them cities, 14 prisons in Oregon, and each one of them 1,000 or more residents that are there. And then, you know, so we, there's a lot of funding that goes on. We have, myself and others were involved in what we call justice reinvestment, where we actually came up with a process of encouraging your local communities, like community corrections, to work on making certain that individuals, as they come out of the prison, that they're able to get jobs and housing and what have you so that they don't return back to prison.
So that reentry, actually, we're going to be talking about, I think it's tomorrow, with Commissioner Cameron about reentry program in Marion County and so forth. So you're saying that some of that budget does trickle down towards those reentry?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
In fact, last session, it was substantial that actually was going to community corrections, which is controlled by Marion, by the counties. And then in addition, I was able to obtain some other dollars funding for them with the understanding that the dollars that was given to them, that they had to report back results. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in just saying that you've given me, Senator Winters, these amount of dollars. I want to make certain that, in fact, that it had a positive entry back into the communities and that we avoided those individuals coming back into prison.
Well, look at you demanding results and accountability. That's, I'll take that every day, results and accountability. I love it. So a lot of people don't realize how much you interact with the state and the city, and we're going to talk about that. Right after this, you're listening to Senator Jackie Winters here with us on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
Now, back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers from the Capital Auto Group studios here at KYKN. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and I am joyous today on this beautiful Willamette Valley day to have one of my favorite individuals in the studio with us, Senator Jackie Winters. Boy, so many things to talk about. I wish we had a two-hour show now that you're here. Maybe we'll just keep going and we'll just record it and record. Senator Winters represents the 10th District and has for a long time, since 2002. And she's serving on Ways and Means as a vice co-chair. She's serving in the Public Safety Subcommittee. And she's on Regional Solutions, which I hope we have time to talk about. And if we don't, we're going to spend a whole hour on it next time you come.
That'd be exciting.
I don't know if you have any time once the session starts, but Regional Solutions would be fascinating. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, one of the things that Ways and Means and the state does to help local efforts at, like, the recidivism rate and reentry from prisons and so forth. So give us a hint, let the listener know how much you interact actually with the city government, with the city leadership, with the county government, so forth. You get involved with things that affect us right here in the Mid-Valley.
Well, I do, and I've, you know, worked with Mayor Janet Taylor. I can still remember coming to my office when we were developing Mill Creek. And she came and she says, you know, we need your help in order to get some dollars for infrastructure. You know, if we're going to make Mill Creek go as a regional economic development center. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to get, I think it was about $5 million to help with that. And of course, today we've got thousands of jobs now at Mill Creek because of that investment between the state and the city and others in order to create Mill Creek. And this past session, you know, the mayor, Mayor Bennett, and I worked on, with others in this community, the Sobering Center. You know, so he came and said, you know, I've got the hospital is on board, and this one is on board. Now, can you help us? And so we do interact a lot between the city and the state, you know, where we can help each other here in this region. You know, there's some work that was done on land use with Woodburn. when they were having issues. Yeah. You know, you mentioned regional solutions. I'm one of three senators, myself and Senator Johnson and Senator Beyer, who actually have agreed that we are conveners for regional solutions. And regional solutions for us is Marion, Polk, and Yamhill counties. With the objective of improving or expanding economic development growth mm-hmm. that has to do with tourism and agriculture.
And that is the same boundaries that SEDCOR represents, the Strategic Economic Development Corporation. So it's yes. Marion, Polk, and Yamhill counties try to see it as a collective basin for economic development to develop, you know, good paying jobs and other things that we need to support a good economy and good infrastructure, right?
Right. And, you know, as the convener, we uh-huh. have a very good, robust committee, including SEDCOR. Chad's on the committee, as well as Commissioner Cameron and others, and the City of Salem. And it really helps when you're working and collaborating together.
Indeed.
In order to actually look how it impacts and its implication for the region as a whole.
I know a lot of us feel like sometimes we get outnumbered with the preponderance of public policy and policy makers that think in terms of the Portland metro area. So to have these, you know, Mid-Valley counties, these agricultural counties, and working together and collaboratively, that, you know, that brings you strength.
It does.
Strength and a lot of,
It also does something else. It also not only brings you together for planning, but it helps to actually to reduce the amount of overlap. I mean, when you think in terms of, so that if we're talking regionally, mm-hmm. And as growth occurs, you know, the regional approach tends to actually look and see what we really need for this region. You know, we did that when we did the transportation, and I was on that committee as well, and looking at the need for the intermodal exchange, and that occurred as work on the transportation, and looking at how were we going to be able to get people and goods and commodities after the closure of Terminal 6 in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And so between the Senator Beyer, myself, and Senator Johnson, we both said, hey, we need that in the valley.
Indeed. And we had Kevin Cameron on a show, if you guys heard that show a couple weeks back.
Kevin Cameron or Matt?
I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction, Kevin Mannix. You're the professional in the room, I guess. So thank you, Kevin Mannix, on the show. We did talk about the intermodal facility that's proposed for Brooks and also for Millersburg. It's going to go to one of the two, where they're going to take trucks off the road and their cargo is going to go onto rail. And so it can go up and be transported via ship.
I believe that both Senator Courtney and myself have supported Brooks.
Good. Okay. What's it like working with Senator Courtney?
Senator Courtney and I work, you know, I have Senate District 10 and he has Senate District 11. And we really work very close together. You know, I talk about regional work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Woodburn is not that far from Salem. When I talk about the, you know, the needs, if we're talking about mental health, if we're talking about some of the issues that impact us, we tend to actually work very close to make certain that we're getting what we need here in the valley.
Well, that's important. I mean, collaboration, we've talked about it on the show. I mean, Salem relies upon it. We talked about the voter registration and actually the voting results in Marion County and how purple it is and how many, you know, Marion County, for instance, the governor did not win in Marion County. So the Republican Newt won in Marion County and so forth. So you've got a lot of races that go either way. And our contingent at the Capitol is mixed. So you have the Senate president is a Democrat, and here you are a Republican. And we've got a Democrat in West Salem and Polk County, but in South Salem, a Republican. And are you able to work collaboratively together as a unit, regardless of party, or does it still split by party a lot?
Well, the Senator Courtney and myself are able to work together in spite of party.
Nice.
Because for us, it is about the valley. It is about Salem. And, you know, as you know, at one time he was on city council for Salem. So we do work closely together. And I want to remind of how Senator Courtney actually was elected president when we were tied 15-15. And it was during that, and I was a part of that committee group too, mm-hmm. but, you know, and we determined how we were going to actually govern ourselves. And interesting enough, it took both Republicans and Democrats to be able to elect him as president. And he's been elected ever since as president. And so for those of us in the Valley, I think it's important because we actually, you've got one of our leaders now is actually from the Valley.
Yes, that is critical. And I know it's who we went to when we were talking about getting funding for transit. And we just had, actually, we just had the Chariots on the show and talk about the new transit tax and so forth. And that's something that went back and forth, but they got it done.
Well, as you will recall, it was the senator and myself and others who worked with the chamber and mm-hmm. others in order to make all this happen. So I think there's some real, you know, the collaboration that exists is very positive because it is about the Valley. It is about Marion Polk and Yamhill counties.
Well, amen. You mentioned a couple things that always intersect with our favorite topics. We talk about regional solutions and infrastructure. Can you do something about our city councilors and getting us a third bridge?
Please.
Well, yeah, I'm not on city council.
Can you have a little chat with them?
You know,
call them into the principal's office.
You're above them. Come on.
I think that it's been expressed both by the citizenry that they want that third bridge. How many years have we been talking about this third bridge?
Over 12 years?
No,
well,
it's been
just
longer
this
than
one.
That.
Since the 70s, it was identified as a need.
Wow.
Wow. No, it's been longer than 12 years.
Yeah. There are actually, Mayor Bennett was on the show, and he said when he was in the community in the 70s, and he was a newspaper writer, and he wrote an article, one of his first assignments, writing an article about the need for another river crossing across the Willamette in the area in the 70s.
How many bridges does Portland have?
Seven. And right? 12?
I thought it was
a lot.
Nine. I thought it was nine.
I think there's nine there.
Well, I shouldn't have answered so definitively.
No, I think it's nine. But you know, when you begin to think about in order we're growing, mm-hmm. and when you start thinking about moving people and goods and services, and it's more than just moving them just West Salem, because you've got Dayton, you've got others that feed in to what comes in to get to I-5. Yeah. You know, then you have the whole issue of the congestion that is existing now, and you're going, so why is it taking so long? I don't know how many environmental impact statements have been done and reports that have been done and how much money has mm-hmm. been done in the past in order to get us to today. But yes, your city council needs to get busy and listen to the voters.
Yeah, I remember I lived in Los Angeles for a period of time. The only good thing that came out of that period of time was my wife. But did not love it. But I lived in Los Angeles, and I was reading the Los Angeles Times, and they had spent enough money on studies over the preceding 40 years or whatever of subways that they could have built like three or four systems. They had just studied the thing to death over and over and over again instead of getting decisive and just saying, we've studied it, we need it, let's move forward, even if it's imperfect in my mind. So anyway, let's get off of that, I guess. But, you know, I'll encourage you calling them into the principal's office, as I were, and getting them community-minded to work collaboratively to get what we need. The other transportation thing, we talked a little bit about during the break about air service coming out of Salem, so I'm hoping you're supportive of that.
Oh, yes, I would love to be able to get on a plane here in Salem. Wouldn't have to drive to Portland and take me anywhere upwards of 2 hours to get to PDX. And I could get a plane here and be to visit my granddaughter in Universal City within those 2 hours.
Amen. And that way you won't have to pay the tolls that are going to be on I-5 and I-205, right? Are we going to expect to see that?
I'm not sure what they're coming out with that transportation package.
Well, we know there's going to be one thing that has been bipartisan in many, many sessions is transportation packages, which I appreciate it, which because I'm always favorable. I look favorably upon infrastructure and investments in it. What are you seeing coming up in the session that you're like, oh, we're going to have to deal with this, and it's probably a battle we're not going to fight or win?
Well, we're going to, you know, this session, of course, we'll have the carbon issue will be back, front, and center. I'm expecting that to occur. And, you know, I said to you earlier, it's kind of interesting because I think we need to look, if we're going to look at carbon and only the automobile, we need to be looking at all of it. You know, me, I always think in terms of, well, let's see, we've got all these forest fires. Mm-hmm. And we're getting more and more every year. Forest fires, if you look at the emission, I think you said that somebody was on your show earlier, that there are more emissions coming from the forest fires than there is from the automobile. Is there any reason why we cannot begin to look at things in not only one silo? I don't like silos, mm-hmm. but as you can tell, but that we begin to look at alternatives and other options and what can we do to actually lower the carbon emissions. I don't think anybody disagrees that we need to do that. I think what it is the how and what's the methodology that we use and the cost that's embedded in it. You know, and of course we provided some of it when we did the transportation package, if you recall.
Yeah, and a lot of times, so the listener knows, the transportation packages do include lots of multimodal things, like we're talking about in Woodburn, but also bike, ped, boat, airplane, you know, ports, international shipping, and all of those things. If you can only get the people who are really, really obsessed with carbon emissions in the same room with the people really, really obsessed with not harvesting or managing the state forests in the same room, then maybe they can work something out. Oh, wait, that's right. It's probably the same people. They want the zero emissions, and they also want zero management of the forest. So that's just a wee bit of cynicism.
Good luck
on my part. Anything having to come up with some of? Oh man, we have to come back, and we're going to talk and see if anything coming up with guns and taxes and the other bills that you're introducing. And in the studios, we've got Senator Jackie Winters. This is Newsmakers, and 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on KYKN Newsmakers. We're with you every weekday at the noon hour to talk about local topics and local issues. And if you have an idea for the show, feel free to email us. Check out our website or email us at Newsmakers at... I should know my own email address, right?
You should know.
KYKNNewsmakers@gmail.com. Or hit our website. And if you miss some of the shows that we're referring to, you can get to them at the website, KYKN.com. So if referring to Kevin Mannix or Nick Smith or Mayor Bennett, feel free to hit those and hit the podcasts and get caught up. In the studio today, the Capital Auto Group studio at KYKN, we've got Senator Jackie Winters. You know, what you didn't even talk about is your small business background, which is one of the reasons why I think, you know, you can see so many issues in a different light than some of the people that have never been in a position to have to sign the front of a paycheck, as they say, where... You know, you need to make that monthly bill to pay everybody and so forth. Now, but you own Jackie's Ribs forever.
18 years I own Jackie's Ribs. Were you here to so I could put a bib around your... on you to so make
not.
Certain that you didn't get sauce all over yourself?
I did eat in Jackie's Ribs down in South Salem by the Fred Meyer.
Yes. That, you know, I don't know how many thousands of bibs I have placed and tied on individuals. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I'm known as, you know, to some I'm known as Senator Jackie Winters, and to others I'm known as the Rib Lady.
Yeah.
So
I really struggle because sometimes I just want to call you Jackie because you're so personable and you got a dynamite smile. And you're just Jackie, and you made the fabulous ribs and this and that. But I have so much respect for the position that I really struggle to say anything other than Senator.
It's well, you know, Jackie's Ribs is a tremendous business, and you know, having it for 18 years and feeding so many individuals. And then, you know, I was invited to Sparks, Nevada at John Oswaga Nugget back a number of years ago to participate in the Best in the West Rib Cook-Off. Mm. And so I did that for years, and then we actually started Bones and Brew in Portland. along with some other friends of mine, and we had some of my National Rib Cookers follow me from Sparks, Nevada to come to Portland and do cook-offs there that we contributed money to, first to the Oregon Food Bank and then to Albertina Kerr. So I thoroughly, my 18 years there, and the employees, because they're the ones that make you look good, yeah. And they do, do all the work, enjoyed Jackie's Ribs.
Well, when you look at government regulations and government legislation, I'm sure no one in the building knows it as well as you do, how that affects small employers, mom-and-pop businesses, the people they employ. Because sometimes they're even passing policies we don't even think is in the best interest of the employee, although they think they are.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it is the mom-and-pops, the small businesses. You know, we talk about the major big corporations, but that which makes the engine go and makes the community vibrant and what it is small business.
Yeah. Amen to that.
And so, you know, I you know, tell individuals, you know, that's where the hiring, and that's where the families are. Think
Indeed.
About it.
Yeah, and putting down roots.
Yes.
Putting down roots, because they have invested more than emotionally, certainly financially, and sometimes everything they got in trying to build something in the community. All right, hopefully we'll come back and talk about ribs. But before we run out of time, you're introducing an idea to create a commission for domestic violence.
Correct.
So how did this come about, and what do you have to do, and how can we help?
It came about, you know, the last session we passed the gun bill, the boyfriend's loophole, and then we also passed strangulation and stalking. The previous session we had passed the spousal gun bill. I started looking at it, and I kept saying, when we passed the bills the last session, we did nothing about how we were going to implement our resources. We're good at doing that. We're good at passing bills to excite the public and what have you, that we've done something, but we haven't really done anything to implement it. So I, you know, when we did that, I said, I want to take it further. I want to actually create a commission so that we really are addressing the issues of domestic violence. The issues, why are we such a violent society? That we really begin to address some of those issues. So I've been working with the Criminal Justice Commission and the Law Center and others, and I think I talked to everybody in the building about it who will listen. And so we're coming up this session with the creation of a commission, a domestic violence commission. So, and in addition to that, one of the things that I learned in working with some of the constituents is that, so you have an individual that is finally at a point to where they ask for and need help, and then the help isn't there.
Mm-hmm. They kind of know where to go. They need to be a place to go, and they need to know where to go. Right?
Or the resources, it is not there. So that's also a part of this. So I'm very excited about it because I think everybody, a lot that need to hear me, have heard me.
Well, I hope that becomes a bipartisan rallying cry, and you get what you're looking for. A lot of times, and to your point, that you do you say we, you meant the legislature as a general, not yourself on purpose, but passing along, hey, let's do this, but not directing it. And then you leave it to administrators and bureaucrats.
One of my major strengths is at working across the aisle and bringing people together.
I know you are. Now we have to go. Will you come back? So
I
many things to talk
will.
About. Senator Jackie Winters, thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.